Hello and welcome. I'm Dr. George Lundberg at large for Medscape. If you, like the rest of us, are trying to figure out how to prevent you and your patients from dying from coronary artery heart disease, stroke, or diabetes, you could do a lot worse than reading Yale Professor Harlan Krumholtz's reasonable viewpoint entitled Treatment of Cholesterol in 2017, published online July 24, 2017, open access, not behind a paywall. Thank you, AMA. Krumholtz selects what he considers the best studies, puts comparative numerical risks and benefits onto statins, and counsels a healthful lifestyle for everyone. He adds a heavy dose of patient-physician participation in decisions when the data are pointed in unclear directions. I have always thought of Professor Krumholtz as particularly ethical, insightful, and more unbiased by conflicts of interest than most. His bottom line, smoking cessation, healthful diet, regular physical activity, and optimal weight. So I emailed him, thanks JAMA for including helpful author email addresses, and asked, what is a healthful diet? His immediate response, one without excessive calories, excessive processed foods, excessive sugary drinks, and excessive red meat. Seemed like everybody, including me, is down on processed food. Has that become a knee-jerk mantra? What is processed food? Is it always bad? Processed food is any food that has been altered from its natural state in some way, either for safety reasons or convenience. Cooking, freezing, canning, drying, and pasteurizing are examples, many quite healthy. Thus, processed food is not the demon. One must look at what was the process and, more particularly, what has been added. The answer is a whole lot of stuff. It's like the old Amos and Andy radio show. The big print gives it to you and the small print takes it away. Don't trust the marketing hype on the front of the box. Check the nutrition facts subsection labeled ingredients. From my pantry, multi-grain wheat thins, for example, lists 22 ingredients, including sugar, molasses, salt, and canola oil. All brand lists only 9, but includes salt and sugar. Creamy peanut butter lists 15, including sugar, salt, corn syrup, and hydrogenated vegetable oil. Ranch dressing lists 18, including sugar, salt, and canola oil. In some processed food, you are swimming in sugar, salt, and oils. Notably, the type of sugar is often not specified. What should you really try to stay away from? A short list. 1. High fructose corn syrup and sugar derivatives. 2. Partially hydrogenated vegetable oils. 3. Trans fatty acids. 4. Non-dairy coffee creamer. 5. Of course, too much of almost any food. I know you know all that stuff, although you may not practice it. But here's some new stuff. The gut microbiome is very complicated, probably very important in obesity, diabetes, and metabolic syndrome. We have previously written about the probable adverse effects of ubiquitous antibiotics on the microbiome. You can't mix oil and water. True, they naturally separate, unless an emulsifier is present. Many emulsifiers are natural, such as gelatin, lanolin, and lecithin in milk and eggs. Anti-fat zealotry drove the food industry away from milk and egg products. So, synthetic and semi-synthetic emulsifiers came into widespread use in the food processing industry in the latter 20th century. They are in many foods such as ice cream, biscuits, cakes, bread, cookies, caramel, mayonnaise, jam, and breakfast cereals. Seven common emulsifiers are carboxymethyl cellulose, CMC, polysorbate 80, P80, lecithin, mono and diglycerides, MDGs, stearoyl lactylates, sucrose esters, and polyglycerol polyricinolate. Of course, they, like all food products, have passed through FDA testing for adverse effects, but those tests may not detect more subtle pathobiologic effects. Mouse studies demonstrate that the diminished gut mucus associated with two emulsifiers, CMC and P80, may permit penetration of gut microbes through the epithelium. Relatively low concentrations of those same two commonly used emulsifiers, CMC and P80, induced low-grade inflammation and obesity, metabolic syndrome in wild-type hosts, and promoted robust colitis in mice predisposed to this disorder. Of course, that is mice. Recent studies using microscopy in human colon specimens have demonstrated that the distance between colonic microbes and the epithelial surfaces is narrowed. The colonic microbiota encroachment correlates with dysglycemia, but not with obesity. Obviously, much more research is indicated to connect or not connect these dots. But as for me, to the extent possible, no more emulsifiers. Be careful what you put in your mouth. That's my opinion. I'm Dr. George Lundberg at large for Medscape.